a little hot and very, very bothered. We finish eating in companionable silence, and after breakfast, I use the quiet morning hours to finish a painting for my mom. I prop my canvas on my bungalow's deck, placing it so I can glance at the water over it. My hand moves of its own accord, across the canvas, stroke after stroke. Now that's what I call having a stroke of inspiration. Those muffins have the most peculiar effect on me this morning. Summer, this is perfect. Wow, you're so good at this, Elise exclaims later that evening. At 17, she's one of the oldest girls at St. Anne's. She asked me if I could braid her hair after the painting lesson finished. Braggart that I am, I showed her pictures of my nieces during the break, and she pointed out how beautifully their hair was braided. Thanks. My sisters kick ass at this, but I had plenty of practice on my nieces. She smooths her palm over the braid, her shoulders hunching a little. It must be nice to be so close to your family. I press my lips together, nodding. Whenever I'm with the kids at St. Anne's, I'm reminded not to take my family for granted. Come on, let's go get started on roasting those s'mores, I say. Turns out that a bonfire is a dangerous idea when a fourth of the kids running around are under 10, which seems to be the cutoff age for finding the idea of sticking your fingers into an open flame interesting. I also chug down non-alcoholic daiquiris like it's nobody's business, thirsty from all the effort. No, Bobby, I'll give you the marshmallows as soon as they're roasted. I fend off 6-year-old Bobby for the third time. Holy bejesus. I thought I had plenty of practice fending off kids from suicidal missions, since I regularly babysit my nieces and nephews, but I'm in over my head. We're 6 adults, supervising 30 kids, but I can only take a breather once everyone under the age of 14 goes to bed. When I'm done roasting, I take refuge on one of the rattan sofas. Well, it looks more like an apple than a sofa. It's shaped like a globe, and I appreciate the rattan walls for shielding me from view. I love being with these kids, but I need a 10-minute timeout. None of the kids discover my hiding spot, but Alex does.
You're right. Your marshmallows are delicious, he says with a grin.
Would you believe I didn't even have one?
I know, I was watching you. You were in over your head, roasting for the kids flocking around you, while trying to keep them out of the fire.
I was, but so were you. Why do you have so much energy? I feel like I've just swam a mile and my arms will fall off. Not to mention my head is spinning a little.
I've had worse in training.
I'm dying for a marshmallow, but I have no energy to move. I pout, massaging my temple.
Stay where you are. I'll feed both of us.
He walks to the fire, roasting a stick of marshmallows. When he glances at me, winking, I become aware of the sweaty hair clinging to the back of my neck. In fact, my entire body seems to be covered with a thin sheet of cold sweat. I shiver a little, but have no desire to go near the fire again.
Are you cold?
Alex asks upon returning, watching me rub my arms with my palms. A little. I got all sweaty roasting, and now my skin's clammy. Before I realize what he's doing, he climbs in the rattan globe, sitting right behind me, stretching his legs alongside mine, his inner thighs touching my outer thighs, his chest touching my back. A sizzle replaces the shiver, and I keep my hands in my lap, unsure what else to do with them. I'm wearing a knee-length cotton skirt and a neon pink top with puff sleeves, but for some reason feel as exposed as if I were naked. What are you doing? I ask.
Warming you up and feeding you.
He takes one marshmallow off the stick, holding it in front of my mouth. I bite into it without hesitation, sighing in delight at the delicious flavor. I lean my head back a little, resting it on his chest. I make the mistake of closing my eyes. When I blink them open again, the stars are spinning in front of my eyes. What the hell? Out of the corner of my eye, I see Alex shove the half-eaten marshmallow in his mouth. Oh, God. This feels so intimate. Sitting here, sharing marshmallows. His body is cocooning around mine, as if he's determined I should never, ever feel cold. I can feel his breath on my jaw, and the crook between my jawbone and my neck, as he leans to pick another marshmallow off the stick. Shit, his hands seem to shake before my eyes. When he brings the marshmallow in front of my face, I have to grip his wrist to stop myself from seeing double. I bite off half of it, then go back for the rest, my tongue swiping the pad of his finger in the process.
Summer.
I feel a low groan reverberate in his chest. As if through a haze, I feel the fingers of his other hand digging into my thigh. His chest feels so good against my back. So hard and good. I want to lick every crevice in it, drag my tongue over all those muscles. Looking down, I realize I've been shamelessly feeling up his thighs. Whoops, where on earth are my inhibitions?
Baby, how much did you drink?
He asks softly in my ear. Panic rises in my throat. What do you mean? The daiquiris were non-alcoholic. But even as I say the words, I know it can't be true.
No, the mojitos were non-alcoholic. The waiter didn't tell you?
Oh, God, I don't know. He might have, but I was so busy with the roasting. I wasn't paying attention. I heard him say non-alcoholic and assumed it referred to both. I didn't feel the tequila.
You're not supposed to in a good daiquiri.
I had about 4 or 6, and now the effect is slamming into me. Alex, do you think you could help me to my room? I don't want anyone to realize I'm drunk, and I don't trust my legs, or my hands, or any part of my body. My licking his finger and feeling up his thighs very well prove I'm not to be trusted tonight.
Sure. Do you want me to carry you?
He offers. Yes, oh God. What an epic chance to feel all those muscles, all that hardness. I could rest my head in the crook of his neck, lick him there, just to check if he tastes as good as he smells. Whoa, shit. I need to pull myself together. A couple of neurons still seem to function outside the alcohol haze. They'd better keep me from embarrassing myself. No, just keep an arm around my waist, in case I lose my balance or something.
Okay, up we go on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3.
Chapter 11. Alex. I draw on 15 years of acting skills and my popularity with the group to make this look like we're just going for a walk. I walk with her along the shore, thinking the fresh air will do her good.
Oh, this is better, she says. So much better.
A few steps later, she untangles herself from my grip, running right into the water. Summer, no, come back. Grinning, she launches herself into a series of backstroke laps. Does she even know she's fully clothed?
Summer!
Cursing, I enter the water. This is dangerous for her, and the fact that she doesn't realize it tells me exactly how drunk she is. I chase her through the water for a good few minutes, pulling her up straight against me when I find her. Summer, we need to get out of the water. It's a dangerous place to be when you're drunk. She purses her pretty lips, looking up at me with wide, innocent eyes.
I thought it might wake me up.
She's the happy drunk type, which is a relief. It's much more difficult to look after a drunk who's crying their heart out. It won't. Come on, you're all wet.
So are you.
Yeah, but I'm not the one who'll need help changing into dry clothes. Come on, baby. Let's get you in your room. Before she can escape again, I hook an arm around her waist, the other under her knees, lifting her up in my arms.
This is nice.
She rests her head on my chest, and I'm already on shore when I realize she's undoing my shirt buttons. Summer, stop that. I look down to her at the same time she looks up, and the heat in her expression sends a jolt straight below my belt. I'm not just toast. I'm skewered. Instinctively, I look around. Even if someone were to snap a pic of us, there wouldn't be much to see. The waterfront is dark. The only light source is the bonfire in the distance.
Skin-on-skin contact will help us warm up.
She purrs. I cross the resort with quick strides, but she's quicker, undoing all the buttons until I reach her room. I need your key card, I say. She stops in the act of reaching for my belt.
It's in my front pocket, unless I lost it in the water.
I put her back down and reach into her pocket, because she's too busy figuring out how to undo my belt. Fucking hell. I need to get her to bed and get out of here. Here it is. I swipe the card, push open the door, and guide Summer inside. She sways dangerously, and I grip her waist from behind, steadying her. She sags against me, her butt pressing against my cock, which is semi-hard already. Summer, you need to change into some dry clothes. I'll bring your clothes. What do you sleep in? She grinds her ass a little, whispering,
I sleep naked.
Fuck, fuck, fuck. My semi turns into a raging hard-on. I have to get out of here, right now. Summer's too far gone to know what she's doing, but I'm not. But if I leave before she changes, there's a good chance she'll fall asleep in her wet clothes, and she'll be sick tomorrow. I'll bring you a robe. You need to dry off before climbing into your bed. I button up my shirt on the way to her bathroom. The robe hangs on the back of the door.
Ouch, ouch, ouch!
I hurry back, finding her beside her bed, trying to take her shirt off. Her arms are raised, her head bent at a weird angle, everything entangled in her shirt. All blood pours south when I realize she's buck naked from the waist down. Her skirt and panties are lying in the center of the room. Her ass is perfect, small and perky. And when she turns around, gasping,
Alex, I forgot you're here.
My brain turns blank. Her pussy is waxed clean, except for a thin strip on the center. The need to bury my head between her legs and kiss her until she explodes and my tongue slams into me. I pull on every ounce of self-control, raising my gaze to the entangled mess of limbs and fabric. Crossing the room, I hold the robe in one hand and disentangle her with the other, throwing the shirt on the floor. She's not wearing a bra, and her breasts are even more enticing than her ass, just as small and perky. I cover her with the robe, rubbing my palms up and down her arms to dry her off. Her eyes are heavy with lust, but unfocused from the alcohol. I need to remember this, that she'd never do this if she were sober. But now I have the image of her sweet, naked body imprinted in my mind.
I feel a bit cold.
A hot shower would help, but I don't trust her not to break her neck, and I don't trust myself to help her shower. You'll warm up as soon as you're under the covers, I promise.
Aren't you cold? You're still wearing all these wet clothes, and you button your shirt back. Oh, you threw away all my hard work.
I laugh because she sounds genuinely disappointed. I push away her fumbling hands when she starts working on the buttons again. Damn woman, why does she have to be so persistent? Climb in your bed, Summer. Come on. Sighing, she does that, without letting go of me. I lose my balance, barreling on top of her. My erection slams against her thigh. She giggles, cupping my dick over the denim.
Is this for me? All for me?
I try breathing in to regain control, but her smell invades my senses. The delicate perfume of her skin, mixed with the scent of her arousal. She's wet for me. It takes everything I have not to lower my hand between us, work her clit, slide my fingers inside her. I wouldn't stop there. I couldn't. Don't tempt me like this, sweet girl. You're drunk. Another giggle.
Shh. I know.
Levering myself on one arm, I lower the other between us, pushing her hand away from my dick. Big mistake. She uses my momentary distraction to plant kisses on my neck, and the tenderness in her gesture nearly shatters my resolve. I want to let this woman kiss me like that all over. I want it more than I've wanted anything else. Even though the studio would ruin me, even though I don't want any Hollywood drama to touch Summer, I want her. I fist the sheet to keep myself from fisting her hair and pulling her into a kiss. Summer, stop. She kisses my jawline, moving further down. When she lifts her hips, grinding against me, I nearly explode. Please stop.
Why?
she asks in a small voice, prying her lips away. I immediately pin her hands to the bed above her head, shifting my ankles so they're on top of hers, immobilizing her. Every muscle in my body is wound tight. My control hangs on a very, very thin thread.
Why are you shaking?
She whispers. Because you're tempting the hell out of me. But you're drunk, sweet girl. I kiss her cheek, her temple. I won't take advantage of you. Not gonna join that list you have of assholes. She stills.
You really listen?
I pull back, watching her straight in the eyes. We didn't turn on any lights, but the moon is bright, and there's enough light for me to see that even through the haze of alcohol, she understands what I'm saying.
Will you let go of my hands and ankles now?
She whispers. If you promise to behave. She frowns.
Fine. I promise I'll behave.
I let go of her ankles first, then her wrists, then move down from the bed. Afterward, she shoves a pillow under her head, crouching on one side, bringing her knees to her chest.
Thanks, Alex.
The robe slides sideways, and I catch a glimpse of that perfect round ass before pulling the cover over her, tucking it under her chin. She closes her eyes, and I sit on the edge of the bed until her breathing slows down, and I know she's asleep. Then I back up, intending to leave when two stacks of magazines on the windowsill catch my attention. My face is on them. Why would she have a stack of them here? All still wrapped in plastic foil, unopened. I look closer on the small stamp on the plastic, and recognize the name of the resort shop. I passed by it yesterday and today, checking the rack of magazines. I was so relieved they didn't have anything about me. I couldn't believe my luck when I didn't see a single person holding a magazine with my face on it. Smiling, I look at the huddled figure under the covers. I wasn't being lucky. Summer was looking out for me. Pulse racing, I walk back to her, pushing down, 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 the impulse of taking her in my arms, telling her how much this means to me. So I just kiss her soft hair, then let myself out.
Chapter 12. Summer. I'm going to die, I mutter for the millionth time. No, you're not. Claudia pushes a glass of water toward me. You just have a hangover. You need to hydrate. I need to get out of here. The smell of food makes me sick. You should eat something, she urges. We were the last to arrive for breakfast. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to drink last night. Summer, you don't need to apologize. You were just having fun. And you've earned your daiquiris after roasting marshmallows for 90 minutes. She looks at me curiously, then adds in a whisper, Between you and I, did something happen with Alex? My heart leaps into my throat, where my stomach has been for the past few minutes as well. Nope, he just helped me to my room. I pulled on all my courage to come to breakfast, because I thought he'd be here, and I planned on apologizing for last night. Unfortunately, I'm not one of those whose memory becomes unreliable when faced with alcohol. I remember pretty much everything, and I owe him a big-ass apology. Now I just have to find my courage again and go track him down. Sorry, I need fresh air. See you later, Claudia. When I step outside the building, I inhale deeply. The fresh air tugs at my memory. Me sprinting in the water, then Alex carrying me out of it while I was unbuttoning his shirt. Another flash of memory of him helping me out of my soaking shirt, but nothing else. Tingles creep up my spine. Not the good kind of tingles either. Drawing in a deep breath, I put on the proverbial big girl pants and head out to find him. I head straight to his bungalow, but after a few insistent knocks at the door, I recognize defeat. Where could he be this early? I know for a fact he's not teaching the kids until later. I survey the waterfront and narrow my eyes at a jogging figure in the distance. Yum, I'd recognize that muscular frame anywhere. the outline of his arms. I sit on the porch steps, admiring the view. I might as well squeeze in some gratuitous staring before I apologize. I only take my eyes off him when he's close enough to see me looking.
Morning.
He comes to a halt in front of me, panting, sweat dripping in rivulets over on his face and neck. He's wearing a tank, which is a damn shame. Why isn't he one of those guys who runs shirtless?
How was your head?
I've had better days.
I bet.
Listen, about last night. I'm sorry about everything.
You have nothing to worry about.
I can't believe I forgot he was in my room and dropped my panties and skirt. My cheeks burn. I don't usually... Alex crouches in front of me, his eyes kind and warm.
Hey, I told you. You have nothing to worry about.
How can you say that?
I'm an actor. I film plenty of scenes involving naked women. It's no big deal.
Thump, thump, thump. That's my pride crumbling. Then again, my body is nothing to write home about, especially not when compared to a Hollywood beauty. I paste a smile on my face and rise to my feet. Well, thank you for being so easygoing about it.
You're still embarrassed.
I shrug one shoulder. Well, I don't have your vast experience with naked people, so... He steps close enough for me to smell him, and it turns my knees mushy. When he places a hand on my waist, his touch lights me up instantly.
If I strip naked, would that level the playing field?
Hate to break it to you, buddy, but remember those scenes where you take off your shirt? And that one where you flashed your butt? I've already seen it all. Personally, I don't understand the point of that scene, unless it was to make every woman in the audience swoon. On second thought, that was probably the whole idea. And I can confirm it worked like a charm. I was one of those in the audience, swooning and sighing like it was my job.
Not up close, not in person,
he says. There's about an inch of distance between us, but his body radiates so much heat, it obliterates the safety of the small distance. The only positive part of him being so close, and my gaze being cast downward, is that he can't see me ogling his glorious bicep. I can perv at him in peace. Apparently, perving makes use of all my neurons, because I'm scrambling for an answer. A sassy reply. I need a sassy reply. Come on, brain. Be of some use here. What's the stripping offer include? If it's just the shirt, don't bother.
Way to make me feel cheap, Summer. And it's a full-body offer.
You're going all out, huh? I mumble.
Only for you.
He brings his hand to my cheek, tilting my head up until our gazes cross. He's grinning. My face is on fire. His presence is all-consuming, I swear. It sucks up the air and all my willpower. My saving grace is my shame. Alex might be all blasé about the incident, but I'm still mortified. Very generous, but I'll have to pass. Not sure if it would help my mortification. I take one step back, and then another. Are you flying out to L.A. this evening? I ask, remembering he's got a panel scheduled tomorrow.
Nah, tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock.
Oh, that sounds like hell. He shrugs.
When I'm filming, I wake up at 4 most days. No big deal. I just have to go to bed early.
No bonfires planned tonight, so you'll get plenty of sleep.
Wasn't the bonfire that kept me up late yesterday.
Oh? What was it then? I have a sinking feeling that I'm digging myself into a hole, but what the heck?
Someone's shenanigans.
Silly someone, threatening your beauty sleep. I laugh nervously. Well, I'm going. I need to finish a painting for my mom. He nods, pointing to his soaked clothes.
I'm going to shower.
I'll leave you to it. Swirling on my heels, I head in the direction of my bungalow.
If you change your mind about the stripping offer, you know where I live.
Alex calls after me, and I nearly trip over my own feet. Hot damn. Once I'm inside the bungalow, Alice calls. I pick up right away. Hey, she greets. Pippa's voice comes through as well. Hey, baby sis, how's camp? Lovely. Listen, we were thinking about having that home spa thingy Thursday evening the week you come back, at Ava and Sebastian's house, Alice informs me. Sure, that sounds great, I reply. We're going to pull together our nail polishes, masks, the whole Shangri-La, Pippa continues. I'll scour my beauty cabinet and bring everything I find. I slump on my bed, already making a mental inventory. Just so I'm up to date, do we have another master goal except for convincing Ava? Nah, that's all, Alice confirms. Ava is one stubborn woman, but no one else could go toe-to-toe with Sebastian. But between us girls, we'll tackle her. I know we will. When we put our minds to it, there isn't anything we can't do. So beyond lovely, what can you tell us about the camp? Pippa continues. Crap. Of course she wouldn't be satisfied with a one-word answer. I know I wouldn't. I clear my throat. Kids really like the lessons and the lake. Yeah, I'm picking up secrecy vibes, Pippa exclaims. Yikes, I know my strengths and weaknesses. Talking my brothers into doing my bidding? I'm your girl, hands down. Keeping something from Pippa or Mom? No can do. I do plan on telling them, but no way am I owning up to last night's faux pas over the phone. Girls, stop cornering me. I know these tactics. Besides, I need to go to a class. Yep, when it comes to this, only evasive maneuvers help postpone the inevitable. Don't think you're off the hook, Alice calls. Oh, I wouldn't dream of it. Talk to you later. They bid me goodbye in unison, and after the line goes static, I finally start working on my painting. I settle on the deck outside, placing the canvas in a strategic spot, plenty of sunlight and a direct view of the water. The latter doesn't help with the painting, per se, but watching Alex pass through my field of vision from time to time sure helps with bursts of inspiration. Once or twice he catches me looking, and the smile he flashes me is enough to make me wonder exactly how serious he is about that offer to strip, or if I should take him up on it.
Chapter 13. Alex. Preston picks me up from LAX the next morning. Most managers wouldn't bother, but he's more hands-on than others in the industry, and I appreciate it. It saves us both time, because we can use the drive to discuss the schedule and any other open issues. Everything's running on time. The rest of the cast is already there. The panel will be 1 hour, maximum 90 minutes. Then you'll have an autograph session. How long? Maximum 1 hour. Depends on the crowd. If they get too aggressive, we might pull you all out sooner. Got it. You're in a good mood. Lake Tahoe suits you. I don't correct his assumption. Technically, it's true, even though I've got a spitfire of a woman to thank for my good mood. It felt strange eating breakfast alone this morning and knowing I won't see her at all today. When we reach the panel venue, we take the back entrance because there's already a crowd in the front, and I don't want to be mobbed this early in the morning. I love pleasing the fans, but autographs will have to wait for later. Early on, I thought the actors who walked around with security and avoided autographs unless there was a metal fence between them and fans were snobs. But at the premiere of my first big-budget movie, a fan ripped my shirt, and the crowd tugged at me from every direction, until I thought they'd tear me apart limb from limb. Good to see you, man, Jake greets me. He's one of the fellow superheroes in the franchise. Even though this one will premiere after Bree Shannon Finds Love Number 2, my romantic comedy with Amy, the pre-release events start earlier. Thanks. Where have you been? I ask him. We wrapped shooting on this almost 7 months ago, and while I do keep in touch with my co-stars, we don't update each other regularly. Everywhere. Living the big life. South of France, Italy, L.A. Chicks everywhere love superheroes. You should enjoy the status, too, now that you're finally off the hook. The other guys in the room cheer Jake on, while Lena, one of the two female superheroes in the franchise universe, rolls her eyes, muttering something that sounds like, men. No one in this room knows about my contract clause with the studio, but even if I weren't bound by it, The life Jake's describing wouldn't be for me. Betting women whose names I wouldn't even remember the next day never held much of an appeal for me. Most actors don't care that those women are throwing themselves at them only because of their fame, but I do. I actually like getting to know a woman before having sex with her. My thoughts immediately flicked to Summer, and how perfect her body felt in my arms 2 nights ago. I've only been gone a few hours, and I already wish I was back. The crowd cheers when we enter the panel room. The long table is set on an elevated island at the back of the room, and a red cordon separates the crowd from the island. There are two bouncers at every corner of the room. If something goes awry, they can sustain the crowd just long enough to call for reinforcements. I sit between Jake and Lena, and as the other six take their seats, we all tap the mics in front of us, checking if they work. They always do, but the familiar gesture breaks the ice and settles some of the nerves. I've done this over 20 times by now, but live, recorded Q&A sessions with the fans always make me nervous. I admire singers and theater actors. I would never be able to slip into a role knowing a crowd is watching my every move. The panel starts like any other, with easy questions about our characters, even though there's a melancholic air, because this is the last movie in the franchise, and this is the last first panel, so to speak. Of course, if I get my own spin-off, I'll be doing this for a long time, even if the rest of the guys won't be here with me.
Alex, there are rumors you'll join the action series Werner Ellman is producing. Anything you can tell us about that?
Sorry, that's just a rumor. No truth to it. I did read that script, but action movies come too close to superhero movies, where acting range is required. I don't want to be pigeonholed.
How about the rumor that you were cheating on Amy with every woman in sight?
A question comes from the crowd. I stiffen, narrowing my eyes, trying to discern who asked. The topic of Amy should not be an issue today. She has nothing to do with this franchise. The fandom for the romantic comedies profiled as being different than the ones for my superhero movies.
No questions about their personal lives, please,
the moderator says. Lena and I exchange a look.
If he's got nothing to hide, why doesn't he answer? No one likes cheaters.
Another voice peeps up. And then a third.
Yeah, you think fans will line up to spend money on a cheating bastard?
The crowd buzzes. An angry buzz that makes everyone at the table stand a little straighter. I nod at the moderator, leaning into my mic.
I have nothing to hide. Amy and I said this before. We broke up because we grew apart. Working 16 hours a day on different continents can do that to people.
My face is a mask of cool calm, even though the fakeness of the situation weighs on me. I hadn't thought that this rumor escalated so much, so fast.
That's bullshit! All you people say that when you can't keep it in your pants. Don't feed us lines. You'd better not show up with a skank in 1 month and try to shove down our throats how you just met her. We're not stupid.
Folks, let's focus on the movie. The moderator tries. Yeah, I'm offended no one asked about my regimen to gain the extra 10 pounds of muscles.
Jake says, with his usual humor.
None of you ladies noticed them on the posters?
He wins back the crowd. For about 10 minutes. And then they circle back to Amy and me. It's like a goddamn ping-pong match. The ball's in the movie domain for half the time, my personal affairs the other half. We skip the autograph session, because there's a real risk someone's going to rip my head off. When they lead us backstage, Preston is fuming. Jake, Lena, and my other co-stars throw me glances that range from murderous to sympathetic.
What in the ever-loving fuck was that?
Jake asks, downing a soda.
A fiasco.
Calvin, one of my other co-stars, supplies helpfully.
Alex, man, you need to get this shit under control, or we might as well cancel all the panels.
Lena brushes her hands through her red hair, frowning.
I didn't know there was such a huge fan crossover.
Me neither, I admit. But this is just one panel, one crowd. The group exchanges glances. Jake points his bottle of soda at me.
Yeah, man. But these are supposed to be our biggest fans. Not everyone gets tickets to these panels. If our biggest fans turn against you...
I drag my hands down my face, leaning against a wall.
I'm sorry, guys. I wasn't anticipating this. I figured this type of question would pop up at most when Amy and I will appear together for promos.
Cynthia, our other female co-star, shrugs.
You two are Hollywood's golden couple. You were the fairy tale come true. Rich, beautiful, eternally in love.
Now, the fairy tale exploded in their face, and they want to blame it on someone.
Jake throws his hands in the air. Who cares why they're doing this? The point is, it's messing with our panels.
The conversation goes on and on, until Preston steps in and says it's time for me to go back to LAX. By his grim expression, I expect more bad news. He starts dishing it out the moment we're inside the car. Got a call from Newman. He went berserk. Newman is the director of the studio. You're trending on Twitter, and the comment section in the Facebook live transmission was all about you and Amy. He's got a lot riding on you. He's concerned about people boycotting Bree Shannon Finds Love Number 2. He's a drama queen, I say flatly. People don't boycott movies because the co-stars broke up. Sometimes they do. Especially if they think the male lead is a cheating bastard. I sink lower into the leather seat of the car. Few things can damage an actor's career almost to the point of no return. Drug scandals, violence, and cheating. We need to calm Newman down. At least long enough to greenlight the spinoff, Preston says. I have no ideas right now. I'll talk this through with our PR team. How did this get out of hand so badly? I ask. It's more of a rhetorical question at this point. Exhaustion creeps into my bones, and I barely pay attention to what Preston says on the way to the airport. I guzzle down soda, trying to keep a headache at bay. I'm dehydrated as hell. Thank God Preston arranged for a private jet today. The press would have been all over me after the panel fiasco, and I have no energy to keep lying through my teeth. I love my job, but the PR aspect of it drives me insane. I can't wait to be back at the resort. I wonder if Summer will still be awake. Chapter 14. Alex. Hours later, I climb the steps to my beach bungalow. When I enter my room, a basket on the windowsill catches my attention. There's a bottle of red wine in it and a note.
After the day you've had, I figured this would help. Summer.
I laugh out loud. The first real laughter for today. I forgot the entire thing was streamed live and that she said she'd be watching. Pulling the phone out of my front pocket, I dial her number. It's not that late. When she picks up, I can practically feel some of the tension bleed away from between my shoulder blades.
Hey, you're back?
Just walked into my room, found your basket. You give me too much credit. I can't drink an entire bottle on my own. Can I come over to your room? We could sit on your porch, drink and talk, or just talk.
I'm already in bed.
I sleep naked, she told me that night. Is she naked now? The thought sends a shot straight to my groin.
And I have neighbors. My porch is not safe. Do you want me to come to your bungalow?
Yes. Come here, Summer.
Okay. I'll get dressed, and I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Fuck. She is naked. After hanging up, I head straight to the shower, trying and failing to chase the memory of her naked body, of that deliciously trimmed pussy, out of my mind. I rub soap everywhere, toying with the idea of rubbing one off, but there's not enough time until she gets here. I barely have time to put clothes on before I hear a knock at the door. Come in. She steps inside, looking like a little angel in her short white dress with a black ribbon around at the center of her waist. I walk straight to her, but instead of kissing her cheek, I wrap my arms around her waist, burying my head in her neck.
I take it that was much worse in real life than the video, she says softly, lacing an arm around my neck.
Yeah, I'm so glad you came. She shivers lightly, and I pull back, already missing her scent, the softness of her skin.
Do you want to order some food, too?
She asks. I eat on the plane. She scrunches her nose.
I never eat on planes. Makes me queasy at landing. Shall we take the wine on the porch?
She asks. Sure. She grabs the bottle. I take the glasses from the minibar and the small package I bought at the airport. She goes straight to the round sofa lounge, climbing on it. When I returned, I was half hoping to see you here. She gives me a small smile.
I thought about it, but figured you wouldn't want to see a soul tonight, that you'd need your space to recharge.
I climb next to her, sitting so close that our arms touch. I wouldn't want to see anyone except you. She searches my eyes, frowning as if trying to decipher something, then holds up the glasses. I uncork the bottle, pour us each wine.
Do you want to talk about today?
She asks, as we lean back on the couch. Not tonight. I like that this place is drama-free. Thank you for making that happen. She widens her eyes, then groans.
You saw the magazines.
Yeah. I wanted to thank you yesterday, but thought bringing the evening up would just make you uncomfortable again. But thank you.
You're welcome.
She takes a small sip of wine, sinking lower on the couch. What's wrong?
Just residual embarrassment for that night. I'll get over it. Eventually.
I turn to her, framing her jaw with my hand, leaning in. Summer, we've been over this. A small sound escapes her. Somewhere between a chuckle and a choke.
You probably forgot all about it already.
The gentleman thing would be to tell her I did. But I don't have the energy to act any longer tonight. And I don't want to act around her. I want to be honest. And something in her body language tips me off that she needs that honesty. I don't think I'll ever forget it. The sight of your beautiful body is branded in my brain. Her mouth pops open.
But you said it wasn't a big deal, that you'd seen plenty of actresses.
I was trying to put you at ease. By the looks of it, I did just the opposite. You have no idea how hard it was to keep my control, Summer. I wanted you so badly. She sucks in a breath.
You did?
I still do. She parts her lips, her eyes widening with surprise. I bring a hand to her face, caressing her cheek, resting my thumb at the corner of her mouth. Her skin is so smooth. It spurs a need deep inside me to touch more of her, to taste her. Would she taste as sweet as I remember? Have I idealized the kiss, the memory growing sweeter, more real the more time we spent together, the more I learned about her? I've missed you today, I confess.
You did?
Yeah.
So did I. I arrived late at breakfast, and no one saved me muffins.
I brought you something. I pulled the small package out of my pocket and take out the necklace with a little key pendant. I saw it at LAX. It made me think of you.
I love it.
Let me put it on. She turns around, baring her neck to me. I clasp the necklace, lingering with my fingers at the back of her neck. She lets out a little sigh. I trace the contour of her shoulder, needing to touch more of her. Summer tightens her grip on one of the couch cushions. I move closer until my chest almost touches her back, rubbing my thumb gently in the crook of her neck and shoulder. When she tilts her head slightly to the other side, giving me access, I don't hesitate. I lower my mouth, pressing kisses to her skin.
Alex.
The vibration in her voice is the sexiest sound. I bring one hand to her waist, spin her around, then capture her mouth with mine. She parts her lips, granting me access, entwining her tongue with mine as soon as I request it. I deepen the kiss, moving my hand from her waist to her thigh, bunching up her dress. I want to feel her skin, taste it, because she tastes even better than I remember. And I want to explore all of her.
Alex.
She whispers again when I trail my mouth down her neck.
One night. Just this one night.
I hold her close, breathing her in. Just this one night. I agree. I know the smartest thing would be no night at all. Especially after the accusations thrown at me today. But we've both gone past that point. I want this woman. I need her. Working her dress up, I groan when the fabric finally gives way to skin. It's so smooth and inviting. Let's go inside, I say on a growl.
Don't stop touching me.
Once we're inside, I won't stop touching you, tasting you. I won't stop until I make you cry my name, Summer. I'll make you come so hard that you won't forget this night anytime soon. You won't forget me. Rising from the couch, I pull Summer to her feet. Hands intertwined, I lead her inside. The second I close the door, I press her against it, kissing her, touching her. I only pause enough to pull her dress over her head. Lust shoots through my veins at the sight of her in underwear, You're so beautiful. Unclasp your bra, Summer. She looks like something out of a sinful dream, standing there, legs slightly apart, reaching behind with one hand, obeying me. She makes a move to hook one thumb in her panties next, but I stop her. Nah, I'll do that. Summer swallows hard, then leans against the door, her hands at her side. I love the challenge in her eyes, and the silent invitation to do anything I want to her. I suck in one nipple, then pull back, circling the wet skin until the peak is a tight bud. With the other hand, I push her panties down. I only push them until they're halfway down her thighs, before I lose my composure. I trace the fine line of hair from her pubic bone, going down, 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 until the pad of my finger touches her clit. She presses her back into the door, snapping her eyes closed. Look at me, Summer. I want you to look at me. Her breath is already labored as I draw small circles around her clit. When she blinks her eyes open, they're full of lust. I want to watch her every reaction, but I want to kiss her more. I need to be closer to her, want the intimacy of a kiss. And by the sweet sound she makes when I capture her mouth, the way she laces both arms around my neck, so does she. I kiss and stroke her until her legs are quivering, and she's so wet that my fingers are slipping down her folds. I want a taste of her desire, but her hold around my neck is tight, and I don't want to break away. It feels too good to be in the circle of her arms. I don't want to pull away, not even after this night ends. When I sense that she's close to the edge, I slip two fingers inside her, pressing the heel of my palm against her clit. She climaxes the next second, and I eat up the delicious primal sound she makes, nearly exploding in my jeans. Then I pull slightly away, just enough to look at her, all flushed and out of breath. She came before I even finished taking her panties off. As if reading my mind, she glances down at her panties, still around her thighs, then hooks a thumb on one side. But then she stills, as if not knowing if she should pull them up or push them down. I hook a thumb on the other side, and she lets go, giving me free rein. I push them down, and she steps out of them. I can't help myself. I swipe my tongue along her entrance. She buckles forward, nearly collapsing over me. I catch her arms and pull myself up until I'm facing her.
You can't do that without any warning. I'm too sensitive,
she whispers, poking my chest. Then she starts unbuttoning my shirt. I kiss her cheek and move to her ear. Here's your warning, Summer. I'm not going to give you a break. I'll push more and more. You're going to love it, I promise. The trust in her eyes does me in. We're a tangle of limbs, but I feel like we're entwined on a deeper level, like she's part of me already. I want you in my bed, beautiful. Now.
Summer. I feel exposed, walking naked through his bungalow. I feel him right behind me, except for a brief moment when he steps sideways. I don't look back, but the sound of foil on foil tells me he's fetching a condom. When we reach the bed, I sit on the edge and finish undoing his shirt, then lick down the bare skin, tracing the fine dents of his muscles. I haven't had a one-night stand before, but I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to feel as vulnerable and open as I do. Alex won't own just my body tonight. He'll own my soul, too. We rid the rest of his clothes together, and then I follow the dusting of hair starting under his navel with my fingers until I reach the base of his cock. I pump my hand twice before letting him go, and he bends, hooking an arm around my waist, hoisting me right in the center of the bed. He's so strong, and his arms feel so good around me. He kisses me with so much heat that my legs shake. But there is tenderness in his kiss, too. Like, I matter to him just as much as he matters to me. He kisses and touches every inch of my skin, and I do the same with his body. Eyes pinched shut, I feel the mattress shift, Alex moving away, then hear foil being ripped. By the time I open my eyes, he's moving on top of me. He sheathed himself already. He positions his tip at my entrance, and as he slides inside, inch by delicious inch, he laces our fingers together. He brings his mouth to mine, our tongues twirling together while our bodies move together, perfectly in sync. I don't know if every sensation is magnified because my body is still strung together from the orgasm, or because he's making love to me as if I'm his lifeline, the single most important thing in his life. I cherish every second of it, memorize every detail, the scent of his skin, the sounds he makes, and all the emotions he stirs inside me. When I feel him widen inside me, I flex my inner muscles, wanting to squeeze him good, to make this as delicious as he's made it for me. He goes over the edge, taking me with him. Letting go of my fingers, he cradles me in his arms, until my pulse regains a somewhat normal rhythm. Then he moves away, taking care of the condom quickly, before returning to my side. He holds me to him until I fall asleep. Chapter 15. Summer. Tap, tap, tap. The sound jolts me awake. I blink, frowning at the unfamiliar bed and room. Then I see Alex lying on his belly, deep asleep. Oh no, no, no. I broke the golden rule of one-night stands. Thou shall not fall asleep in the other's bed. Granted, the man wore me out last night. But that's no excuse for my breaking the one-night stand code. As silently as possible, I climb out of bed and go about finding my clothes. My cheeks burn as I find them tossed around the room. Please, don't let him wake up before I'm gone. Though I haven't had any one-night stands before him, twice I mistook weeks of dating and one night in bed as a relationship. But they informed me of my naivety before the sheets cooled. But Alex and I agreed on the same thing last night. How embarrassing. I take one last look at him before heading to the foyer. God, he looks so incredibly lickable, with his entire back and half his ass on display. He holds the pillow tightly under his head, and I remember those arms holding me just as tight last night, as if he didn't want to let me go. Tap, tap, tap. Alex, are you in here? I freeze in my steps, halfway through the foyer. The sounds that woke me up were knocks at his front door. Mr. Westbrook? The voice asks even louder. It belongs to one of the younger boys in the group. Well, now I've done it. How the hell am I supposed to get out? There is a large window I could escape through at the back of the bungalow, but my two experiences with window climbing as a kid made a lasting impression on me, considering I twisted my ankle both times and knocked out a front tooth the first time. I refuse to risk maiming myself during my walk of shame, which leaves me nowhere. I swallow when Alex appears in the foyer, already wearing jeans and a fresh shirt, his eyes small with sleep.
Why are you hiding in the foyer?
He asks. Ay, ay, ay. I realize I was holding on to the hope that maybe he'd want last night to be more than a one-time occurrence, which is more than a little foolish. There's somebody outside, and I don't know how to get out.
Oh, yeah, that's Bobby. I promised I'd sit at his table at breakfast today. Seems he thought it safest to get me.
He motions with his head toward the door.
Let's go.
He might get the wrong idea if he sees me here.
Okay, then I'll go with him, and you can stay here and close up. Give me the card at breakfast.
He checks his smartphone.
We don't have that much time left.
I'll skip breakfast today. I need time in the morning to make myself presentable.
What are you talking about? You look perfect.
That brings a smile to my lips, and my heart might just have skipped a beat, though I deny it to my last breath. My hair is out of control. He twirls a strand between two fingers.
Like its owner. You're a wild thing, Summer. After last night, I won't be able to look at you the same way.
I feel my cheeks burn. Don't leave Bobby waiting. Go. I'll find you later and give you the card.
I'll bring you muffins.
After Alex leaves, I wait for 5 minutes before skipping out the door. My gaze darts around as I head to my bungalow. Is it still called the Walk of Shame if no one sees you? Well, no one you know. Plenty of the hotel residents pass me by, and I pat my hair in a fruitless attempt. My stomach growls, protesting the lack of food. Excitement wires me up as I remember Alex promised to find me some muffins, but then I force myself to think about something else, because I'm still running a little high on last night's shenanigans, and my brain cells are not fully awake yet. That's a recipe for drawing the wrong conclusions. I'm a pro at misinterpreting men's intentions for more. After freshening up, I stuff my notes for today's classes in my beach bag and head outside. I'm only teaching in the afternoon, but I like reviewing my notes every morning. Typically, I keep mulling over them at the back of my mind for the rest of the day and come up with new examples or a better way to explain a technique. My feet carry me to the stretch of water near Alex's bungalow, almost by themselves. When I spot him sitting on a sunbed, phone pressed to his ear, I get cold feet at the potential for awkwardness. I wish there was a handbook with instructions for a one-night stand with a man you know and are stuck with for another week. A man you like very much. I reason that since we've set free all that pent-up sexual tension, I might not get all tingly around him anymore. Yeah, that's just wishful thinking. The closer I get to him, the signs become more poignant. He's with his back to me, but I warm all over at seeing those corded muscles, the strong arms. When I notice the plate with 3 muffins next to him, butterflies roam in my stomach. God help me. Butterflies have no business here. Putting his phone down, he runs a frustrated hand through his hair, then turns around, a corner of his mouth twisting up when he sees me.
Look what I got you.
He points at the plate. How did you manage to get 3 when you got there so late?
By employing my irresistible charm and talent.
I drop my bag on the sand, sitting at the other end of the sunbed. Fess up. Does that include distraction or stealing?
Negative. I went directly to the kitchen and asked for a new batch.
Oh, wow. I bite into a muffin, taking him in. He runs his hand through his hair again, frustration etched onto his features. So, who was that on the phone? He hesitates.
Amy. She called about the fiasco yesterday. Her manager and PR team are going berserk.
Why? You're painted as the bad guy.
Yeah, but this will impact the box office turnout for our movie.
Wow, really?
When you use the co-star's real-life relationship as a main selling point, yes.
I move on to the second muffin, pondering just how screwed up it must be for your professional life to be so entangled with your personal life. A question burns on my lips, but it's not my place to ask, damn it.
Summer?
Yeah.
What is it that you want to ask me?
I startle, squeezing the muffin so tight that my fingers sink into it. Am I that transparent? Doesn't matter. He eyes the half-mashed muffin in my hand.
This is the first time I've talked to her in a month. I don't have romantic feelings for her anymore. If I'm honest, things between us were rocky long before we broke up. Does that answer any potential questions?
I swear to God, my heart just sprouted wings, and it's about to take off from my chest. Wow. Yeah, you could say that. I cross and uncross my legs, then cross them again, trying to finish eating the smashed, mushed-up muffin as elegantly as possible. Alex scoots closer until he's right in my face.
I don't want you to regret last night.
Last night was